We're back to Revelation today. So as you find the book, since we've skipped a couple of weeks through to Easter, stop at chapter 1, and then ultimately we're headed to chapter 13. But since we've got to kind of reintroduce ourselves to what the book is about, I wanted to read the first five words of the book of Revelation. If you've been around, you've heard it a lot, but I don't think it's bad. Notice Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the intention of the whole book, is to reveal Jesus. I want that. I want to know Jesus more. I know you do too. So there's nothing to be intimidated as we walk our way into this book and through this book. There's not one thing. Because if we keep that as the foundation, okay, 10 horns and 10 heads and all this stuff, it's like, oh, okay, I don't get all that. But I know that through this study, I'm going to have a better understanding of who Jesus is. He's going to be revealed to me in a deeper way, and I'm all about that, okay? So flip ahead then to chapter 13 where we are. So Jesus is the theme of the book. He's the main character of the book. And the book tells us about the events leading up to Jesus' return. And then the events that follow after his return. So again, reminding us, when we got to chapter 6, and as we follow our way through all the way up to chapter 18, we're going to see, and we've been seeing, the unfolding of the Lord's judgment upon a Christ-rejecting world. As the Lord prepares to come and take the world that's rightfully his. Okay? So the whole flow of events that began back in chapter 6 was related to a scroll. Remember the scroll that was in the hand of God, the Father? And in that scroll were all the events that we've been talking about over the last number of weeks. Remember, the scroll was sealed 7 times. And I know I said it before, but they didn't have paper like we had. They had it rolled up. And so it would be rolled up, and then a seal, then you'd open that seal and you'd see some of it, and then it'd be sealed again, and then you'd open that seal, and then all the way through the number of seals that was part of this scroll, right? In that, then, we have studied the 7 seal judgments previously. We've studied the 7 trumpet judgments. And then when we get to chapter 16, Lord willing, we will see the 7 bowl judgments. Now, a couple weeks ago when we were last in Revelation chapter 12, and then also in chapter 13, which we'll just do a part of it today and we'll do some of it again next week. In chapters 12 and 13, we see 7 different personages. Chapter 12, we saw 5 of them. The nation of Israel, Satan, Jesus Christ, Michael the archangel, and Christ-believing Jews. Is that 5 of them? That's 5. And today, we see one of the final 2 personages, the Antichrist. Now, he's not going to be some ugly-looking Frankenstein kind of guy. He's going to be straight out of GQ magazine. He's going to have perfect hair. And he's going to have all the answers to the world's problems. Now, it's important that we realize, because we were at the... By the way, I wanted to say this, too, and I'm glad I thought of it, but I was fortunate enough to be able to be at the men's breakfast yesterday. And I want to personally thank Joe Wynn and Bill Baldwin and Randy Harrison, and I'm sure there's others, but I know for sure those 3, because they've been so faithful through numbers of months to make sure that men's breakfast is a blessing, and it is a great blessing. And I encourage you, man, come. Is it the 2nd Saturday of the month, Joe? I always remember, forget. 2nd Saturday of the month, 8 o'clock, and we have breakfast together, and then we just sit around and open the Bible and just talk about it and how it applies to us. And it's a really, really encouraging time for me personally. So I want to thank those guys in particular, but all the guys who were there yesterday. But I want to invite anybody of the men, come, be a part of that. It'll be a real encouragement. It'll make your Saturday be like a breeze because you've started it in that regard. So the and part of why I thought about that is yesterday as we were talking about the word anti. I don't even remember how it got the context of it. But in our vernacular, we tend to think of anti as against. At least I do. But in the context of the Antichrist, he's not the against Christ. He is the instead of Christ. That's important. That's important. He comes as the instead of Christ, a counterfeit Christ, who comes as a worldly Messiah, another deliverer. Now, the book of Revelation, as we walk our way through the rest of this, we're going to see him called the beast many times. Remember, this guy's going to be a political leader who's going to be indwelt by the devil himself, and he's going to rule over the economics of the world. So we got to remember that the devil is a counterfeiter. Now, we know there's a triunity within the Godhead, right? There's God the Father. There's God the Son, there's God the Holy Spirit, right? Well, Satan counterfeits the Holy Trinity with an unholy Trinity. Satan representing the Father, the Antichrist representing Jesus, and then the guy we're going to talk about next week called the false prophet who represents the Holy Spirit. So during this seven-year tribulation period that we've been talking about, back starting all the way back, chapter 6, working our way through, during this seven-year tribulation period, the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet will completely dominate the economic systems of the world, the political systems of the world, and the religious systems of the world. Okay? So I hope that gets us back. Okay, now I can, that foundation is reestablished in me. And now let's read a little. What we're going to do today, it's Revelation chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Read with me. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. Now see, notice the word like, okay? It's like. He was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear. His mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Verse 5, and he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. He was given authority to continue for 42 months, 3.5 years. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Verse 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for this time we have. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to give us understanding in all things, even the things we think we're really good at or we're smart related to. We need your Holy Spirit to give us just the wisdom. Lord, we need it this morning. It's a fascinating topic, and Lord, I confess that I don't really understand it fully. But I pray you would illuminate to our understanding today, whatever capacity we have the ability to understand, Lord. Thank you for your presence in our midst. We pray you'd be exalted here. Thanks for worship, Lord. Thanks for the giftings you've given Chris and Ed and Doug and others, Lord, in the worship. We thank you for that, Lord. We're humbled that we have the privilege of approaching our amazing God, and we pray that you would speak to our hearts now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here, let's walk our way through this. As I was leading into the prayer, I was thinking about the fact that Andrew and Madison are here today with their new baby. How old's the baby? Is it a week? How many? 9 days old. So, yeah, we're glad you're here. How you feeling, Andrew? Was it okay? Yeah? Was giving the birth hard for you? Yeah? 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 You know, it's tough on us guys. You girls don't give us enough credit for that stuff. So let's back up, okay? Let's walk our way through this. Verse 1. Now, notice it says, I stood on the sand of the sea. I don't think it refers to a literal sea of water, but rather it refers to the nations of the world. We use phrases like the sea of humanity, right? And then we see later on, if you want to look ahead, up in chapter 17, verse 15, that this sea represents humanity. Now, some of your translations, as you read it, it doesn't say, then I, like mine says, then I stood on the sand of the sea. Yours might say, he stood on the sand of the sea. I would say that's an appropriate translation, he stood. Because the pronoun there, mine says I, yours might say he, that pronoun points us back to the nearest antecedent. Mrs. Tipple, my seventh grade English teacher, would be happy that I know what an antecedent is, but so it points us back to that, and that antecedent is the word dragon found up in chapter 12, verse 17. See it? So that's who it's referring to. The dragon who was cast out of heaven and is now going to make war against the saints because he knows his time is short, 3.5 years. We talked about that, what would it be, 3 weeks ago now before Easter? So the picture here is that the dragon, Satan, causes the beast, the Antichrist, to rise up out of the Gentile nations. That's what we see in verse 1. It tells us that the Antichrist is going to be a human being. He will not be the devil, but he will be the devil incarnate. And he'll be raised up by the devil out of this sea of humanity into a place of prominence. Now, maybe you wonder, as I do, is this guy alive today? If so, where is he? What position does he currently hold? How old is he? I wonder, if he is alive, does he know he's the Antichrist this morning? Or is he just a guy with political aspirations who will be indwelt by the devil later on? There's no answers to those things, but those things that I read through this, like, is the Antichrist like 35 years old and moving into these positions? No one knows. Now, we see a description of him, notice in the middle of verse 1, and it's kind of weird to read, 7 heads and 10 horns. That's why I emphasize the like, 7 heads, 10 horns, 10 crowns, blasphemous name on his heads. They're all symbolic language. It's similar to the description that we read about the devil back in chapter 12, verse 3, and the reason is because the Antichrist is going to be possessed by the devil with supernatural power, supernatural wisdom, and that's what the 7 heads and the 10 horns symbolize, supernatural power, supernatural wisdom. And the 10 horns with 10 crowns speak of the 10 kings who are going to make up a world-ruling kingdom that I would say is going to come out of the old Roman Empire. People have different ideas of that, and that's fine. You know, I mean, you come up with your own understanding of what the Bible says. But I would say this revived empire, wherever it's from, will be made up of 10 powerful nations. Now, for me, it kind of sounds like the European Union. Again, you have to study this and get your understanding on it, but and I don't even know how many nations are in the European Union right now. It may be more than 10. But by the time this happens, wherever this conglomerate of nations is coming from, there will be 10 of them. And then these 10 kings will turn over their power to the Antichrist. And then he'll rule and dominate the world during the tribulation period. Now, a little bit of precursor. Up to chapter 17, we're going to talk about this right here a lot more. So that's why I just wanted to land on it lightly this morning, the part about the 10 horns and all that kind of stuff. Chapter 17 really dives into it deeper, and whenever we get there, we'll talk about that. Okay, let's keep going then. Verse 2, and then the beast, there we see these, and again, the likes, the leopards, the bear, the mouth like a lion. The imagery there is found back in Daniel chapter 7, and these three animals represent three world-ruling empires from history, where the leopard represents the Grecian Empire, remember Alexander the Great, and the bear represents the Medo-Persian Empire, and then the lion represents the Babylonian Empire. The point simply is this. Try not to get caught down in the weeds. If you love the weeds, go for it. But try not to get too down into the weeds related to this from this morning. The point is that the Antichrist is going to be a political leader of a world-dominating empire. Okay, that's what verses 1 and 2, big picture, is wanting us to see. Now, verse 3, it appears as if an assassination attempt is made against this guy, the Antichrist, but he's going to survive this deadly, life-threatening head wound. You see it there? I saw one of his heads as if been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And notice the result. All the world marveled. Now, if you look over in verse 14, I hope it's verse 14. In verse 14, it tells us that the wounding was by the sword. And if you go back in your Old Testament and you read it in Zechariah chapter 11, 16 and 17, it seems to give us further insight into this. And it says that the Antichrist will lose the use of his right arm and the use of his right eye. So this deadly wound, though, whatever it is, however it occurred, will be healed. And sees what's happening? Remember, the devil's a counterfeiter. The devil's counterfeiting the resurrection of God's Christ and of God's two prophets. Remember, God's Christ, Jesus Christ, came to die on the cross to save us from sin, and then they buried him, and then he was resurrected. But Satan's Christ, the instead of Christ, will come as a different kind of deliverer. This guy's going to come on the scene with all the answers to the world's problems. And there's a bunch of them. I mean, here's a few. Nuclear weapons, famine, disease, war. I hope we're done with pandemics, but we're not. I'm glad I lived through that. That was horrible. But this guy's going to come even with answers to the crisis in the Middle East, which has been going on since Cain killed Abel. Did Cain kill Abel? I always get that backwards. Yeah, it was Cain. Cain, I mean, it's been going on forever, right? He's going to have the ability to bring peace to that region. In fact, he's going to guarantee Israel and the whole rest of the world peace for 7 years. In my way of looking at it, this guy is going to have the material answers. No, he's going to have the answers to the material woes of this world. That's the Messiah the world is longing for today. Gimme, gimme, gimme. What can I get? And that's the person I'm voting for, is the guy who gives me the most. Because I don't want to pay for anything. I don't want to be accountable to anything. I want you to give it to me. Right? That's the world I see as I watch the news. Remember, people wanted to make Jesus king after he fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Why? Because that's the kind of king the world wants. They want someone to feed them for free. They want someone who has the answers to their temporary problems. And that's what Satan's Christ will do. Don't kid yourself. That is what the world is looking for today. So here we have a mock resurrection, back to verse 3. The son of Satan, pronounced dead. And the world's in shock at that point in time. There are great leaders gone. What are we going to do? But this man is then raised up. And I believe it's a full-on demonic miracle. Satan has power. Go back and read about Pharaoh. Remember all that stuff? I mean, there's been a lot of examples in the Bible about the power Satan has. And so when this guy is raised up from the dead, the world's going to be blown away by it. We're going to watch it on CNN. Well, I don't believe I'm going to be here, but, and they're going to marvel at this supernatural miracle, and they will follow him all the more. And the Antichrist at that point then won't just be a great leader. He'll now become the world's savior. And I would say that the resurrection from the dead that we see here in verse 3 seals the deal for him. Okay, verse 4 then. So then, the result of all that, they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast. They worship the beast, saying, who's like the beast? Who's able to make war with him? Now, we know, I said it earlier, and again, I encourage you to study. Don't take my word for this stuff, guys. Please, 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 please. Don't take my word for this. Open your Bible. Read it. The Holy Spirit gives you wisdom. Study it. There's a lot of good study materials. Be careful, but there's a lot of good study. There's some guys in here. There's some people in here who really have good understanding of this. If you're curious about this and you don't know where to go to find some of this information, I'll point you to some of the guys in this room who have a good understanding of this stuff, and they can help you find the right resources so that you can study this. So part of what I'm telling you, though, is there will be a 10-nation, I would say European confederacy, that gives the control of the world over to the Antichrist. So how's he going to dominate the whole world without military action in order to consolidate his power? He's going to be able to control the whole world without having to go to war? Well, I think we're seeing it there at the end of 3 and in the early part of 4. He dies, quote unquote, or almost dies. And out of that, he gains worldwide popularity and support. And of course, then he's giving things away for free, just like Oprah, you know, only bigger and better. You want a TV? You get a TV. I don't even know because I don't watch it. But I guess I did watch it because I saw that part. Did she give TVs away? Wasn't that what she kind of gave away? Did she give cars? Man, why wasn't I there that day? Yeah, I was playing softball with Eli. Yeah. So, verse 4, stay with me, I'm sorry, stay with me. We see what all this has been building toward. Notice it says, they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast. The devil will finally get what he has wanted from the very beginning when he rebelled against God. And here's what he said. This is Lucifer. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You see it there in 4? Satan finally gets the worship and the adoration that he has longed for. And don't miss the line. They worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Here's Satan in human form, finally being exalted above Jesus, above God, finally being worshiped. Now notice the last part of that in verse 4. Who is able to make war with him? We know the answer to that, amen? We know the answer to that. It's Jesus Christ. But you got to hang in there because we ain't going to see that happen. My grammar is really poor. Sorry, Mrs. Tipple. We will not see that happen until we get to chapter 19. Though, read ahead. With this boldness, though, I'm sorry, let me say that again. With all that we've been reading about, the Antichrist's boldness really grows. And we see that then in verse 5. He was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, who was given authority to continue for 4.5 years, and then it goes on from there. So at the 3.5 years, 7-year tribulation period, okay? At the midway point of the 7-year tribulation period, I would say, again, good scholars have differing views on this kind of stuff. I respect them. I just hold to the fact that I think at the 3.5-year mark, everything changes. Because at this point in time, the Antichrist is now given authority to blaspheme God and his people. Now, throughout this whole 7-year time, the Antichrist is going to come off as a very spiritual person. But as we get to this point, his spirituality will have no room for Christianity. The guy who embraced all religions previously will begin to change his tune. And will begin to blaspheme the true and the living God. And I would say, as I look at our world today, we see it happening At some degree, maybe not to this degree, but at some degree, we're seeing this happen. You know, the world laps up this kind of bashing God talk. There's no opposition in our world today against those who blaspheme God. There's no pushback against those who speak against God's standards or his people. In fact, they're celebrated. And during this time in the tribulation period, people are going to love the message that he's espousing, and thus they're going to love the messenger of the message. 7, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. So it doesn't just stop with talk. The Antichrist is given authority to make war against Christians, and he did not have that power previously. Now, I said it, and I know it's true, and you know it's true too, but the devil's very powerful, and the Antichrist will be very powerful, but they are nothing compared to the power of Almighty God. I mean, that's important. Our God is infinite. These folks are finite, created beings. So let's be sure, as we walk our way through this kind of stuff, let's keep reminding ourselves as we walk our way through this, that our God is not in any danger when it comes to what the devil's going to do or his demons are going to do against people, whether it's us or others. In our world today, even now, God has power to protect us from the devil's schemes. And it's true now. It's been true all the way back in the past, and it will be true throughout all eternity. Amen? That's what we want to keep in mind through here. Our God will be reign victorious, okay? Now, at this point in time, verse 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life. We've talked about the book of life before. Names written in there. The Christian people, people who have given their life to Christ. Of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So at this point in time, anyone who doesn't know the Lord will gladly follow after the Antichrist and worship him. Now, let me say this, and I'm not going to jump very far in here, but we're going to get to the mark of the beast soon. If you look ahead, it's in this chapter. It's down about verse 15, 16, 17. So it'll be next week, okay? So we're going to talk more about what the mark of the beast. A lot of misperceptions of what the mark of the beast is. You got to go into it knowing what we're talking about here. You see the number of times the Antichrist is worshipped in these last few verses? You see the number of times it tells us that the devil is worshipped through these verses? That's what leads us to the mark of the beast. If people are going to give into the mark of the beast because they're worshipping the Antichrist. They're worshipping the devil. And that's what leads them into making this decision. Again, read that and we'll get a better understanding. So the last couple verses then, if anyone, in verse 9, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. And then he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. I find verse 9 interesting for a lot of reasons. Mostly, if you have yet to give your life to Christ, you need to do that. Only God is going to be able to protect us and save us from the deception that's in our world right now and the deception that's coming, greater than what our world is facing now. Only Almighty God is able to protect us from that. And so if you're still living in rebellion to God, then you're vulnerable. So I would invite you, as we read verse 9, anyone who has a ear, let him hear. God is giving us a warning this morning. He wants us to realize this stuff is real. And we need to wake up and get right with God this morning while there's still time. And then the last verse, I would say the last verse speaks to the fact that these tribulation saints are really struggling. But they're going to realize that those who have been killing them and putting them in captivity, they'll have that come back on them. In other words, those people are going to reap what they've sown. There's a day coming. Now, for me, as I read through the whole book in particular, I enjoy reading the last few chapters because it reminds me who wins. And so I see verse 10, and I get a little bit of glimpse of that because God's saying, don't you fear, I'll make it right. And it gives me this peace that God's going to make it right. It may not be in my timing. It may not be. So here's a little thing. You know, I do youth group. I love our youth. Man, our youth. I love them so much. And I enjoy being around them and stuff. And so we decided that we think all of us should get 10 lightning bolts to just throw down on people at whatever point we want. Five of them kill them, and five of them just, like, cripple them and maim them. I'm in favor of that. I don't know what you think of that. And so I know it might be a little extreme for you. But here we see in verse 10 that we don't need to do that. Take that matters into our own hands. That God says, I see what's going on. I'm recognizing what's happening. Yeah. So that ends the description of the Antichrist, verse 10. Next week, then, we're going to study the last personages of these two chapters, the false prophet. He's going to be a dominant personality, unparalleled in human history, and a religious leader empowered by Satan. And he'll lead the world into the worship of the Antichrist. And we'll talk about that. So I invite you, like every week, read ahead. Read the rest of the chapter. There's only like 7 or 8 verses, so you ought to be able to read it, 3 or 4 or 22 times this week and get a good understanding of it. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for this wonderful chapter. Lord, I tend to focus on the fact that you're greater than anything that can come against me. And Lord, there's times I feel like I'm getting beat up in every angle and I don't have any power at all, but that's not true, Lord. By the power of your Holy Spirit that lives inside of me, Lord, I have the ability to withstand temptation. I have the ability to stand strong in the face of deception. I have the ability to stand strong in the face of darkness. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you give us that through your Holy Spirit. I pray for any of us, Lord, if we've yet to come to that place where we've recognized our need to get right with you, that today, this very moment, Lord, we would confess that we're sinners needing a Savior, and that the Savior you sent was Jesus, and that we would just simply say, I accept the free gift of eternal life. I want to be your kid. I want to walk with you. So thank you for giving us a glimpse of what's coming, Lord. We thank you for that. I would say, Lord, this world is set up for this kind of leader. But we're trusting you in all that. I pray our eyes wouldn't be on the Antichrist. I pray our eyes wouldn't be on the false prophet. I pray our eyes wouldn't be on the satanic stuff. I pray our eyes would be fixed on you, Jesus. Just fixed on you. I'm thankful we can read and study and learn about who this guy is and what he's going to represent as the days come. But Lord, I want my eyes on you. And I pray that you would cause our eyes to be just so perfectly and captured by you. And we would just bask in your love this morning. So thank you for today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.